I swear it. Either the man was delusional or in denial. Maybe he didn't want to believe what he was doing. It was understandable and common. The governor stroked the air in a lazy arc with his free hand. I have no need of more servants. Speak true, Farmer Timble. What is it you hope to achieve? To make him say it aloud in the company of hundreds might snatch his delusions.
Yes, my lord. Well, my lord, I hoped that you would give us relief from the edict mandating we tithe 60% of our crops. I have 5 children and can barely feed them. If you were to take Shaney here and reduce our burden by a mere...
He paused, his lips moving as he calculated.
10%, then we could better serve my lord and live up to our duties.
I see. Zane turned his focus to the girl kneeling at the farmer's side. Look at me, girl. She raised her head again. Her full lips pressed into a white line. Natural color filled her cheeks. The king's lords in this region admired the ones with freckles. Young farm maidens drew quite a portion of appreciation, and it pleased the king when the governor presented such gifts upon his wealthy benefactors. Concubines were always in demand among the wealthy. Zane didn't enjoy the practice, but who was he to break with a tradition followed by his line for 3 generations? However, this fruit was not yet ripe, and he'd have no one say his father's heir and loyal servant to the Latrell monarchy leveraged children for royal support.
Farmer Timble, I will offer an arrangement if it suits you.
Yes, my lord.
I will cut your tithe by 5% for 5 years.
He waved a hand at the scribe sitting at a small table, and the man scribbled furiously in his ledger.
In exchange, you will return with Shaney upon her 16th birthday, when she has hips for Solara's sake. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, my lord.
Shameless pimp. You needn't sound so orgasmic about it, farmer.
The onlookers chuckled.
Your daughter will serve for 10 years.
10 years?
The farmer asked. Was that a hint of derision in his tone? The governor's cheeks tightened as he leveled his gaze. The farmer's expression corrected course.
Right, my lord. 10 years, starting her 16th.
The heavy double doors to his right burst open, and a man in a forest green robe of high sheen swept into the room. Onlookers' eyes shifted, but the guards never flinched as his lieutenants approached the governor's chair, Kermatian Pyre. The deathlock specialist was one of few magic users allowed this close to Zane. Since the Shadow Council formed over 50 years before, only those who had undergone levation were given access to the family grounds in Milbury Peaks. Then the blank slates freed of their memories served the same subjects who employed the concubines. The governor raised an ear as the warlock leaned down and whispered,
"We have the guardsmen from Trowsby, my lord."
Ah! His goblet clattered to the stone floor, and he kicked it away. It bounced towards the feet of the farmer pimp.
"That is all for today. Return tomorrow and I shall hear your pleas."
Zane burst past the caster. The doors flung open. Then he stomped down the hall on the other side. An ornate vase from the eastern continent of Lao, the same place from which he'd procured the priestess at great expense, perched on its surface. He spared it a passing glance before he swept around the corner and resisted the urge to fling it against the opposite wall. The swooshing sound of the warlock's robe reported his proximity.
Where did the Cretan turn up?
A guard in gleaming chain dragged open the heavy door, then Zane descended a spiraling stone stairwell.
He fled to an inn outside Trowsby, a small town bordering the Plague Barons. Outpost 2.
Ah, one of the old military camps.
Yes, Governor, it is as you say.
At the bottom of the stairs, the warlock stepped ahead of him to approach a heavy door fashioned of vertical wooden planks.
Allow me, Governor.
He removed a key from his robe pocket and rattled it into the lock.